for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, May the 29th, 1982. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Memorial Weekend.
This is Glenn and Irma Miller teaching on God's sexual laws and a deliverance service.
Should this for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement.
This afternoon, we're going to be mighty brave. It's the truth that will set you free. And Glenn's going to come this afternoon and maybe speak on a problematical subject, but it's very real because we've seen it operate. What I've seen, I understand better than what I take by faith. You know what I mean? When you've experienced something, nobody can gainsay you. Nobody. Because you've been there, you've experienced it. And God is moving in a mighty way to clean up His church. And we all need more cleaning and more cleaning up. And He's painting our minds. He's cleaning us up, getting ready for this great day that we're going to move into this anointing that will shake the world, yet literally shake the world. And we have every right to it. Everybody sitting out here has as much right as Paul Kane or Colonel Speed Wilson or anybody. The anointing is free. He gives it to us, and it will break the yoke. Thank you, and God bless you.
There are requirements for that anointing, and I'm wanting to qualify. I hope we all want to qualify so that we can come to a place where that anointing will flow without reservation. Probably the basic reason, or two reasons, why we don't have that anointing is dedication and then a right understanding of the Word, rightly dividing the Word. If we rightly divide the Word, it'll bring us to a place of cleanliness and holiness before Him. And without holiness, no man can see the Lord, and without holiness, we'll not have the anointing of the Lord. There are a lot of things in the world today that confront everybody, especially the young people. There are games of all kinds on the horizon and every place for them to play, and they seem so innocent. But these electronic games that they've got everywhere, some of them are absolutely demonic, and especially one called Dragons and Dungeons. It is actually a representation of Satan and his demons. And when you deal and play with that thing, you become what you play with. Rock music is another thing that is rampant and has been for the last 15 and 18 years in America. We lived in Los Angeles at the time when it first came in. And some of the women who worked for us went to the rock concerts that first came to the Hollywood Bowl, where the girls, especially the girls, just passed out like you lay hands on somebody and they pass out. Well, they just passed out that way, and everybody thought they were swooning. What they were actually doing was opening themselves up, and demon spirits were coming into them to take them over. And as life has gone on, they have become reprobates to God, and the hippie revolution came out of that and still is in force today. The Western music is as bad as rock music. We shouldn't listen to that. Everything about it is divorce and somebody else's wife, and it's got a pretty sounding tune, but nice swinging words, but the words are demonic. And then the drug scene came along with all of it, and the drug world has never quit. There's still more new drugs coming on the scene today for everybody to try instead of that one, because this one's better than that one. And it's rampant in the nation. America is the center of all of these things, more so than any place else in the world. And yet we're supposed to be the civilized place where man lives, instead of the heathen in Africa. And a lot of the things we do here, the heathen in Africa wouldn't even think of doing. Then we come around to the sex side of life, and that is being exploited on every hand. It's being blown up out of proportion. You've got it on your radio and television, and all the movies and things on television now are all lopsided and with sex oriented and pointed in that direction. And we're unaware, unless some of you have read or been acquainted with the subliminal advertising. We have all kinds of ads on the TV today that underneath of them carry all kinds of filth and all kinds of sex things in that's propagated into your subconscious mind when you see it on the television, and you don't even know it. That's why you need to ask the Lord to cleanse your mind and cover your mind every day so that your subconscious will not absorb those things, because it's impossible to hardly even watch the news without some of these ads being put on, even during the news that carry these subliminal filth in the background on them. I don't need to go into how they do it, but in silk screening and so forth, they make many overlays and put them together to produce the different colors and the different tones and things that are in the pictures and so forth. And in this, they take different overlays and lay them in there and then cover them over with something else, but they're there and your subconscious picks it up and records it. And if you do it long enough, you become, your mind becomes sex-orientated until you're driven by a sex demon and spirit comes in, and you're driven in the realm of sex, or you're driven in the realm of drugs, or you're driven in another realm. And it's as, but this happens, it doesn't happen just overnight. It happens as you slowly let yourself become related to these different things, and then you open up a way where you become Satan has a right, a literal right to you in that area. And unless that right is taken away and you renounce it and you ask the Lord to cleanse you of it, then you cannot get free from that power that drives you and controls you. Well, the Scripture tells us over in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, what we should all study to do continuously. It says, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And God hasn't changed His word. The book of the law of Moses is still commanded to the people of the Lord. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Can you quote it? My people. That's you and me. That's the people of the Lord. That's God's Israel. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, and you shall be no priest to me. Seeing that you have forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget your children. And we truly have let ourselves almost get destroyed because of our lack of the word of the Lord, or our lack of a rightly dividing and understanding of it. I tell you, I'm real proud of Speed Wilson and Paul Kane. I appreciate people that stand up and declare the word of the Lord and not afraid of what somebody's going to say because they do so. Do you know that Speed used over 150 scriptures this morning? And I got almost every one of them down, and I counted them, and I had 130-some scriptures that I had gotten recorded. You take that tape and listen to it, and see if you can repudiate it. Give it to your pastor. Tell him he may not believe it, but listen to it and repudiate it, and then tell me you don't believe it. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We're destroyed because we've taken somebody's word for what they say, and we haven't looked it up to see if it be so for ourselves. Just because of the position that they hold or have held, we have considered that their knowledge was correct and that we took what they said. A thing that perturbs me very much is in the King James translation, and really in a lot of the translations, is the use of the word Jew. Most of the time where the word Jew is used, the word either Hebrew or Israelite should be used. The only place the word Jew should be used, if it actually applies to the tribe of Judah. And if you take and reread the scripture in that light, you will find a great understanding that you never had to the scripture. And it will give you an understanding of who God's people are in the world today that you never understood before. And we're blinded because we do not study the scripture for ourselves and look up to see if we have the concordances and the Greek lexicon and the Hebrew to look and to see if these things be so. But that perturbs me very much, because I believe, it's immaterial, it's not what I'm talking about, but I believe that I'm an Israelite. I believe I'm one by birth. I believe that. I also believe that I'm of the tribe of Joseph. Now, don't ask me how. I can't tell you. I believe that. I believe that America is God's chosen land. I believe that. I believe that God gave this land. I believe it's the ultimate promised land. I believe that. Well, that would take all afternoon if I talked about that. Leviticus chapter 11. In our travels, especially when we went to Tulsa a year ago, and had a meeting with a group of students from ORU. Well, for reasons only God knows, I did an unusual thing that day. We had almost all young people. There was over 30 of them, and I think all of them but two or three were from ORU, including a couple of instructors. I did an unusual thing. I spoke on incest. Irma about flipped her lid when I started talking on that. But it turned out to be what God had for that day. And since that time, we have seen that it's a great need that the people, God's people, understand God's law concerning sex and the sins of it. And I hope that one day before long, that we'll be able to acquire a film that we can use here and show two times during every session, once for the men and once for the women, and teach about God's laws of sex, because that is the curse of the nation today. That it's rampant in the nation, in every realm. All the books are written in that vein today and everything. And I'm very proud of the sheriff that we've got in Little Rock, Arkansas. He's turning our state upside down over in Little Rock, and I'm proud of him. And he went in the other day and arrested a whole bunch of, some of them turned out to be dignitaries in this, some kind of a club they've got where they swap their wives. And he went in and arrested the whole bunch of them. And they asked him why he did it, and he said, as long as I'm sheriff, Little Rock's not going to be turned into Sin City. He said, I'm going to stand against it. And I bless that man for it. And I bless him. Okay, over in Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 45, I want to read to you. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt, or that has brought you out of the land of Egypt, to be your God. That's the reason he brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt to be their God. And he's bringing us out to be our God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. He doesn't say you might be, you should be, you ought to be. He says you be holy. Over in Romans chapter 6, Raymond says that holiness in the Amplified means completely or wholly committed. Okay, in Romans 6. Verse 16 of Romans 6. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey from the heart, to whom you obey neither of sin unto death, nor of obedience unto unrighteousness. So the Lord tells us in Romans that we ought to learn who we're to obey, whether we're to obey God or man, whether we're to obey the word of the Lord or what we feel or think about it. He doesn't give us a choice of how we feel or how we think. He says you do it. You obey it. Okay? So let's take up for a few minutes God's conditions that He's laid down for concerning our relationships in the family, with our family and with our wives and husbands in the realm and the vein of our sex life. Leviticus chapter 18. I taught along this line Sunday before last here and especially basically my purpose was for the young people. They need to get this. Basically, we need to get it too. But they need to get it so they come up with God's law and delve in their minds that they'll not sin against Him and that they'll have a fear of God in their hearts and that they'll know that God's judgments are sure and that they'll be afraid to do what everybody says everybody's doing. They'll say, no, God says no, and I don't dare do it. Leviticus 18, verse 3. Again, the Lord says through Moses, after the doings of the land of Egypt wherein ye dwelt, shall you not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Verse 6 begins what we're going to study. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. That says any. That takes in everybody. Verse 7. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shall not thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. Now, there's a question that may arise in somebody's mind. What's the difference there? Well, possibly it's referring to a fact that your mother has died and your father has remarried, is my understanding of that second verse there. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or the daughter of thy mother. Here again, it could be a stepsister or a stepbrother, as well as a full-blooded brother or sister. Whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter or thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. For theirs is thine own nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. This morning, Speed reminded us many times that everything is established by more than one word of the Lord or more than one scripture. So let's turn over to chapter 20 of Leviticus. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's... I'm going to start with 10. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. The man that lieth with his father's wife and uncovereth his father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. God's judgment here was death. They should be put to death if they were caught doing that. In any of these forms, today we have God's mercy. And we have forgiveness through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So today we live in a day of grace and mercy. And God, and we can have forgiveness of these things. And we're not facing the death penalty today. But if you don't get forgiveness of these things, if you've committed them or been involved in them, you will face the death penalty at the judgment seat of God. But we have grace, so we have an opportunity to repent and be cleansed. Leviticus 17, I want to read through. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have committed confusion. If a man also lie with... I want to read 19 and 21. No, chapter 20, verse 19 and 21. If thou shalt uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister or thy father's sister, for he uncovereth his nearest kin, they shall bear their iniquity. If a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he hath uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin. They shall die childless. If a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He hath uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. So the scriptures that I've read here have covered the whole spectrum of relationship of mother and father, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, cousins and cousins. Now, over in Deuteronomy chapter 27, two or three witnesses, let it be established. Verse 20. Now, this is when they were pronouncing the cursings and the blessings before they went into the promised land. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he had uncovered his father's skirt, and all the people shall say, Amen. Verse 22 and 23. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that smiteth, cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. I read those two in reverse is all. So we've got it established in three scriptures here that the Lord says, and this is called incest. And Irma's going to talk a little bit about that when she comes up here in a few minutes, about incest. But this, what I have read, is incest. Now, let's go back to Leviticus chapter 18. You see, today this is rampant everywhere, and there are books out about concerning incest today that's publicizing and saying that it's right and that it should be done, and it's right for the little girls to sleep with their fathers and the little boys to sleep with their mothers. And you can buy these books on the bookstands all over America. They're just on the shelf to buy, and they're propagating incest in the homes. What it is Satan tearing up and destroying the home, getting the people in bondage and under curses, so that they are far away from the Lord. But it's our place and our responsibility to come against these things and to break these powers of Satan, and the people to know that God's Word says that it's an abomination to Him, and that those who do it shall surely die. Verse 23, neither thou shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down there into. It is confusion. Chapter 20, verse 15. And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach unto any beast and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast, they shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them. Deuteronomy 27, bestiality, rampant in the nation. 27, verse 21, cursings and the blessings. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast, and all the people shall say, Amen. Some places in America today, there are laws against bestiality. In a book called, what's the name of that book, Irma? I can't think of it. Plymouth Plantation. It gives the account there from the early settlers that if anything like this happened, they took the person out and burnt them or hung them or stoned them. They took them out. They found out that it was a fact. They took them out and publicly killed them, as the Bible said. It's what in the early days of America, and that put the fear of God in people, and it made them understand the word of the Lord. But today, it's practiced as part of life, which is an abomination to God. Scientists tell us that supposedly, beast and humans can't mix. So scientists say, but doctors have documented facts that is not true. In fact, Irma's own father knew of two cases when Irma was a little girl in the 30s where two women gave birth to beings from dogs. Became pregnant with dogs and gave birth to them. And a doctor who was the local doctor in the little town where Irma was raised was the doctor who took care of one of the women, and she gave birth to twins. And they were like an animal. They were some form of an animal. And it was from a dog that she had relations with, and another woman lived in a town close by, and she had a German Shepherd dog, and she gave birth to an animal from that German Shepherd dog, and the police had to shoot that dog and kill it before they could assist the woman and take her to the hospital. When they tried to come near the woman to help her, that beast became more ferocious than a lion, that German Shepherd dog. And history tells us, ancient history tells us, that the swine came from a mixture of relations between humans and animals that was carried on in public orgies in arenas, and that's where the swine originated and came from relations of humans and animals. And that's the ancestry of the swine, that's where it began. And doctors will tell you, any doctor who has studied will tell you that they can take the insides of a hog and lay it on the table, and take the insides of a human and lay it on a table beside it, and nobody but an expert can come up there and tell you which is which. They're almost identical to a human. And people wonder why God says that swine are abomination to him forever. Leviticus 18. This is something that should be taught in every church, so that the young people and the people know what God says. And they hear it from the pastor, the person that's in charge or overseer of the church. They hear it from him, and he teaches it so that they realize God's word and what it says, so that they don't get involved, and that they can turn aside, and that they can have a backbone, and they can have a fortress against the thing today. Every place young people go today, they're told, well, it's the end thing. It's what everybody's doing. A little petting and a little this. And then it leads to all the abortions that we have and all the children, illegitimate children. It's all because the word of the Lord has never been taught from the pulpit as I'm standing here teaching and talking today. If this had been taught ever since before I was born, there's many a thing that many of us would have never got involved in that we have to be delivered from, because we have never heard the word of the Lord taught and explained. Verse 22, chapter 18. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Chapter 20. Verse 13, if a man also lie with womankind as he lieth, or mankind as he lieth with woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. Homosexuality, lesbianism, ERA, that's the whole purpose of ERA, to promote and make homosexuality and lesbianism legal. That's behind the whole thing of ERA. And God says it's punishable by death. That it's not natural, it's unnatural. Paul tells us that man has defiled himself with things that's unnatural between themselves. And he's talking about homosexuality and lesbianism. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. Pompeii was destroyed because of unnatural sexual perversion. And Pompeii is filled with the filth. With the filth of it, and where they've gone down and excavated it, and found what it represented there. The buildings that they've uncovered in there. The wealthier the man was, some of you may have read about Pompeii, maybe you haven't, or maybe you've even been there and seen. But the wealthier the man, the bigger the male and female sex organ that was on the corners of his house that he lived in. The wealthier he was, the bigger he could put up on his house a replica of a male and a female sex organs. That constituted how wealthy a man was in Pompeii. That's right. Their houses were, the walls of their houses were done in mosaic tile. And the mosaic tile pictures of those houses was different ways of having sex with animals and people in the rooms of their houses. And then when they threw a party or something, why, that was part of the entertainment, and the party was to reproduce these pictures in reality during their party that they gave for their friends. Study about Pompeii and see why God destroyed it. A filth of it came up into his nostrils. And America has gotten almost as bad. It isn't maybe like that in that way, but it's all over the nation. It's filth. And God can't stand it much longer. It stinks in his nostrils. And the judgment of God is in the land. And the judgments of God, don't be astounded or fearful because of God's judgments. Because God's judgment has to come in the land. God's not a just God if he doesn't bring judgment against the abominations that this nation has preparated and sent, not only here, but it's sent it around the world in television, films, and movie films. America's made them here. France, we say, was bad. France is a picnic table beside of what America is. God's judgments have to come in the land, so we have to be ready and prepared that God will cover us with his covering and protect us, that we'll be able to be a part of God's judgment and not be partakers of the judgment that God brings on our land, on the land and on the abominations of this nation. There's another thing that's very plain in the Word of the Lord, and I never knew about it until a year ago when we started studying Leviticus and Deuteronomy. We started studying it here a year ago last January. It was just laid on my heart to begin to study it. And I found something in there in my studies. I found it studying and brought it here to us the first time I saw it. And I never saw it before, never understood it. But it's something that every married couple should understand. Leviticus chapter 18 again. It's all right here in the Word. We've just never taken it to heart when we read it. Verse 19 of chapter 18. And thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanliness. Do you know what her uncleanliness is? Turn over to Leviticus 20, verse 18. And if a man shall lie with a woman having her sickness, and shall uncover her nakedness, he hath discovered her fountain, and she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among the people. What's he talking about? He's talking about a woman's period. Scripture tells us that you shall not have relations with your wife during the time of her period. I never in my life ever realized that or understood that until a year ago when we opened this up and started to read it. But there God says so. We've all almost every one of us have been guilty of it. In American Standard, the 19th verse of the 18th chapter, it says, also you shall not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness during her menstrual impurity. Then I believe there's another place that tells us that there's a certain period of time after childbirth for so many days that, again, you shall not touch a woman and have sexual relations with her. Then there's another scripture that tells us that a man and a woman shall take a bath after sexual relations and wash. It says you shall wash. It says you shall be unclean until you wash. You shall wash in the morning, that you shall take a bath and be clean or wash yourself. God's law says that. God must have had a purpose for that. He must have had a reason for that. I don't understand the reason about the menstruation period, but God, that there must be a reason that God has, or he wouldn't put it in here. And God's laws are laws for our benefit. They're God's laws for our cleanliness. They're God's laws to keep us healthy. They're God's laws to keep women from having problems in their sexual organs and in their ovaries and these things, to keep them clean and holy and to keep their health right. And I believe that if we follow these things and do these things, and if we're taught, our children are taught these things and they abide by them, that all these problems with having to have hysterectomies and all this, I believe that these problems will disappear. I think that it will erase it from God's people. And it'll take away cancer and all of these other problems from us if we obey the Word of the Lord and diligently seek to know it, and not say, oh, a little bit of that won't hurt, or some of that won't hurt, or it didn't hurt them, so. But God says, you don't touch it. He said, it's an abomination to me. And if God says it's an abomination, he must have a reason for it. But we got to question everything and say, well, God, what's your reason for it? It's better we quit questioning God, what his reason is, and say, God, you said it, so you said it, I believe it. And then just abide by it. And I think God will bless us. And there's many, many other veins that we could follow that same thought up in besides this. that God's law says so-and-so, but we don't follow it. We do it a little different. And we say, oh, God won't do anything to me for it. But God says that he will. But we need to fear God and his word and abide by it. Over here to chapter 20, well, that's where we're at. And I'm just going to reread a half a dozen verses here, which shows what God thought of it. Verse 10, he says, the man and the woman that committeth adultery, for the man who commits adultery with another man's wife or his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress, both of them, shall be put to death. That was God's law before Calvary. They shall be put to death. Or before Jesus came, and Jesus brought grace. He brought grace to the adulterous woman. Verse 11, and the man that lieth with his father's wife and uncovers his father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to death. Incest. Be put to death for it. Verse 12 says that if a man lieth with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death, for they have brought confusion. Verse 13, if a man also lie with mankind as he lies with woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Verse 15, if a man lie with beast, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall also slay the beast. Verse 16, if a woman approach unto any beast and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast, they shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them. Let's go back to verse 7 of Leviticus 20. He says, sanctify therefore yourselves, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. Let's turn over to 1 Peter. And with that, I'll ask Irma to come up here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9.
Hallelujah.
But we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. So what if we don't do everything just because the in crowd's doing it? God says we're a peculiar people. And we don't do those things and partake of them because we are his priesthood.
Hallelujah.
That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called me out of darkness unto his marvelous light. Hallelujah. And he's calling me and he's calling you out of darkness unto light, that we shall be that royal priesthood, that separated people, anointed with the glory of the Lord, to shed forth his name amongst the heathen, that Jesus is Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords, and Jesus is his name. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I just want to tell you about a few experiences we've had. Can you hear me back there? In the last camp meeting, I know this is very difficult to even confess, even to another lady or another man. It's very difficult sometimes for this type of deliverance to come forth in a mass deliverance. Some people can just let them all go, and other people have to have some private prayer. And so I announced if anybody had committed adultery or bestiality or incest, and you wanted private attention, would you please come and ask me, and we would pray for you upstairs. Well, about, how many was it come, Patty? Six? Six ladies came. One of them was real old. And she wept and wept, and God just met her so much. It was something that happened when she was a little girl that was plaguing her all the time. And Satan can use these things to just work on your mind and work on your mind and torment you. And you can be sitting in a service, and all of a sudden it flashes up in your mind, and it just torments and torments. And so we prayed for the different women that had had bestiality or all these things, any of these things that they wanted us to pray for. And they were very open, and a lot of anointing came. And we were praying for a school teacher. And first she had a spirit of no, no. And it yelled and screamed, you know, and wouldn't do nothing, wouldn't obey. And you've seen people like that. No, I won't do that. If they wanted to do it, they'd say no. Then the next spirit that came up and named itself was the spirit of Moab. Well, I couldn't even think what Moab meant, and I was standing by my bookcase, and I just pulled out a dictionary and looked it up, and it said the grandson of Lot. It was really Lot's child, but it was by his daughter. He and his daughter, when the, you remember the two girls went into their father, got him drunk, went in, became pregnant, and they were called Moabites. So we called out the spirit of Moabite, and it acted up pretty much, but it came out. And I praised God for that experience. And I started studying, when we were over at ORU, not in ORU, and I blessed all of them and those beautiful students over there, but we were holding a meeting at the Youth for Christ Parsonage. When Glenn got on this subject, and I had never heard him teach it before, I almost fell off of my chair, because here's all these pure, darling college children, you know, kids, about 18 to 25 years old. And when he finished, you could have knocked me over. I'm telling you, that place went wild when he come against those spirits of incest. The first thing, a nursing instructor screamed and fell right out of her chair, writhing all over the floor. Well, that'll shake anybody up. And I'm used to seeing those things, but it really did shake me up. And then it just began all over, men and women. You see, there's a lot of lesbianism in people that has never manifested. And there's a lot of homosexuality spirits sometimes in people that have never manifested, but they're there in their mannerisms. And Glenn and I have worked in the art departments and the publications divisions of the biggest companies in Los Angeles, and these artists, they seem to just have a flair for seducing and for drugs. We used to have to comb the secret material going to the Pentagon with fine-tooth combs. Glenn and I were supervisors, looking for these lewd pictures. They'd put them right in the big ships. They'd draw pictures, you know, and they'd be reduced down. And you have to look a long time if your mind isn't dwelling on stuff like that. Now, people, yeah, missiles, anything. They were constantly on government time drawing these lewd, seducive, ugly pictures right in the boat. And if your mind wasn't geared to that, and a lot of times it would get way up to the president's office, and then we'd all be in trouble. And we'd have to look those pictures over, especially from one artist, I remember.
They never fired them.
No, they never did fire them. They never did fire them. They just laughed. Sexual problems sometimes are laughing matters and jokes among people. But Christians do not need to have that. And many people sitting out here, even this afternoon, need deliverance from incest. You know why? Because it carries a curse for 10 generations, which is 400 years. There are many pastors that have stood in pulpits, and women have sat in audiences, and the spirit of incest in a woman and the spirit of incest in a pastor, and those spirits have allied together, and there's all kinds of scandals in churches because of sexual problems. And we all would hold our heads and say, how could that happen? It always happens to some of the big ministers that people say, well, if he can't live it, there's no help for me. I may as well just backslide today. And that's the way Satan works. He's very treacherous, and his strategy is planned. And the Holy Spirit plans our strategies. Now, incest carried this curse for 10 generations, which is 40 years each generation, 400 years. Now, I don't know if any of you know what has been in all the skeletons in all of your closets for 400 years, but I would almost say that we have the potential, any and all of us, to have a spirit of incest. Now, in the Old Testament, it was death. In the New Testament, when Jesus hung on the tree, he became a curse for us, that we do not have to be put to death. We can be forgiven, and this curse can lift. Now, you say, well, that's all automatic. Well, if that's true, then Jesus was made a ransom, so we were all saved. Is everybody saved in the world? No. Everybody is not delivered from the curse in the world. We have to move into that realm experientially. And there's a whole set of tapes back there on curses, which all of you should get them and listen. There's many, many curses that we are breaking over people, and we're getting broken over ourselves. I like anything that we study, I like to move into it myself. I want to be prayed for those items. and make sure. And many things are in us that we have no idea that's there. They come, the occult, for instance, it comes from four generations back. We're bearing the sins and iniquities. Now, I had never been to a fortune teller in my whole life, and Derek Prince came to stay with us for 10 days in L.A. In the valley while we had a meeting. And one day he said to us, Glenn, you and Irma are both under the power of a fortune teller. Well, I said, well, I've never been to one, and Glenn said he'd never been to one. However, I had read horoscopes. And in the L.A. paper, I used to scan them, but I didn't believe them. But you see, there was something in me wanting me to read those horoscopes. And I had never heard about it before. I never knew it was wrong. I never heard it preached. If I did, it never got into my mind. And so I told Derek, I want you to pray for me. So when he come against that power in me, it was like a tent lifted off from the outside of me, and I could even see better. I could think better. I could hear better. Everything just sort of lighted up in me. And when he prayed for Glenn, while he was praying for Glenn, another tent lifted off of me. You see, you get these things when you're a husband and wife, and one, you get these things coming and going, you know. And so we were, if you come up and tell me I have a spirit in me, I'll be glad to let you pray for me, because if it isn't there, nothing's going to happen. And if it is there, something will happen, if you have the anointing to pray, you know. So in a few days after Derek left, my husband's mother and father was staying out in California with us for the winter, and they had moved out when Derek came and his wife. So they came back, and I said to her one day, do you know anybody in the family that's ever been to a fortune teller? Because Derek had said, if it isn't in you, or if you and Glenn haven't been, then somebody back in your family has been. Well, I asked her, have you ever been to a fortune teller? She said, oh, yes, when I was 17 years old. And I said, do you know Brother Prince picked that up on Glenn? And the Spirit, and she hit the ceiling. Now, she's had the Holy Spirit and Assemblies of God since she was, in 1922, she received it. And she would not receive this from me. And when she was coming against Derek, she said that he doesn't know what he's talking about. And it's pretty dangerous to come against God's anointed. I don't care who they are, no matter in what they're doing. It's pretty dangerous to come against. If you don't like what Brother Speed Wilson said this morning, it's pretty dangerous in the eyes of God to come against God's anointed. You may not like it, but just look in the Word and see if it be true what he is saying. So when she came against me like that and against Derek, this tent came right down over me again. And she said, that Derek Prince doesn't even know what he's talking about. Everything's under the blood. Everything's under the blood. So I didn't know how to answer her, and I had it on me again. And when Glenn came home that night, we got back in our master bedroom, and I said to Glenn, I told him about it. And, of course, he was shocked. He never knew she ever went to the fortune teller when she was 17 years old. So he prayed for me. It's very good to have a husband pray for you, or a wife pray for you. Pray for each other, and God will help you. Well, anyway, it lifted off of me, and he said, now, don't ever let her come under her dominion again, that dominion. The occult spirits are very dominating, you know, and try to rule. Well, my parents were Assembly of God ministers since 1932, and so we went back to Missouri to visit my parents, northern Missouri, and they had a big family reunion, you know, those big dinners. And right in the middle of the dinner, so help me, right out of me came, has anybody in our family ever been to a fortune teller? My mother said, oh, yes, I was there. I went to when I was 17 years old. Don't you remember? Your grandmother used to go, and after you were born, don't you remember your grandmother going to fortune tellers and your great-grandmother reading tea leaves? Well, they were from Germany, and I don't remember too much. They died when I was about 6. But anyway, I said, do you know Derek Prince picked that up on me? Do you know what my mother said? Same thing his mother said. Everything's under the blood. Man, she came at me with, it wasn't really her coming at me. You know, it took me a long time to discern who's coming at me when people are speaking out. It's real, to me, it's real earth-shaking to think that a spirit can be inside of a person, an evil spirit, and speak out to you in the person's voice. Now, it doesn't shake me up about the Holy Spirit being in me speaking out in tongues, but that shook me up and to hear my mother. But my father, I was always kind of a daddy's girl anyway, and he said, now look, I said, now I read horoscopes, I'll admit to that. But I had never been to a fortune teller. But I said, I did read the horoscopes, and my dad said, well, that's probably what made you interested in a horoscope in the newspaper. I'm saying that to say this. There are things in us that we have no reason to have except they're coming from our past generation. I had the curse of death put on me the day I was born. Now, I didn't know that. But my grandmother became very angry the day I was born and stomped her feet and screamed because she didn't want my mother to have a second child. My brother was 2 years old, and my mother was an only child, and she didn't want my... And you see, this is that manipulating, trying to rule a cult spirit. So I was always a sickly little girl. My brother would have the measles, and I'd have the measles. I'd have the measles for 6 weeks, and he'd have them for 3 or 4 days. Whooping cough. All these things, I'd go to death's door, and go to death's door, and go to death's door. Car accidents, ruptured spleen, all kinds of things. Should have died on the street. And I could never understand, why do I get so sick? Why do I have to go to the hospital? Why am I constantly about to die? And one day, a dear man of God said to me, Irma, you have a spirit of death on you. I knew I used to look ashen white some days, just deathly white, and I'd be so weak. And so he said, I'm going to break this curse of death on you. And it took me a while to figure that out. And the Lord reminded me how my grandmother always never really liked me, rejected me, and how Satan came in with this curse of death. And I'll tell you, that was in 1966, wasn't it, Glenn? And between 1950 and 1966, I was in the hospital so many times that I sure was glad I worked for Lockheed Aircraft and RCA and all those companies that had insurance on me, because the hospital bills and the doctor bills were just horrible. And God delivered me from that. Some of these things are kind of earth-shaking. They were earth-shaking to me because it was all new to me. I hadn't understood about the curse of death and the spirit of death. Recently, we've been up in Missouri to some prayer meetings and prayer groups, and the Lord has delivered a lot of people from the curse of death. We have to come out from under death. Death is no different than a spirit of fear. It just has us hoodooed more. We are walking in life. Now, I'm not preaching never die. Don't get alarmed. But I'm telling you, we need to get the death out of us and let the life of the Lord Jesus reign in us. We need that. We need that. And God is able to do that for us. He wants us to walk in divine health. He wants us to be clean and pure and holy before Him. And the Lord has worked on me and worked on me. I was sitting back there. He reminded me one day, we was praying for somebody in Northridge in our home just before we moved here, and the lady was quite obese, and she didn't know me, and the other lady that brought her knew me, and we were just in there praying and coming against overweight spirits and so on, and all of a sudden this demon spoke right out of this woman. You know what it said? It said, soon as you get finished praying, I'm going to walk right in your kitchen, and I'm going to open that cupboard door and get that chocolate cake out and eat it all. That woman did not know there was a chocolate cake in that kitchen. The demon did. That was kind of astounding, too. We have a lot of experiences around here. Patty, our secretary, and Kevin come upstairs sometimes and have to help me. Now, when Patty came here, she came along with another girl. And a girl from ORU that had some major problems, and Patty came along, but she got more deliverance than the other girl, accidentally. And she's been here almost ever since, and we prayed 7 years for Kevin to get a good wife, and he got a good wife, praise God. And they're both out of the drug culture. They don't mind saying that. And God has delivered them and restored them and restored them and restored them. And they are able to pray for other young people and for other people. They want people to be delivered. Morris and Edie, they want people to be delivered. Becky and Jay, all of our group here want all of you to be delivered. And we all want to be delivered ourselves. If I had my way, but my way is not God's way, but if I had my way, I'd get them all out in one day. I just keep praying and working at it and get them all out one day. But God says, I'll drive your enemies out little by little. And he doesn't listen to what I always want, you know. But he drives them out. Every once in a while, we just get a powerful deliverance. And I just praise God for all of the deliverances that we get. What I really need is a real good deliverance on not liking this humidity. I went into a meeting one day. We was having Santa Ana winds in California. And we were having a prayer group. And the minister that was going to preach to us was a deliverance man. And the winds were blowing so hard, you put a scarf on your head and it'd blow it right off before you could get in the house from the car. And we were all sitting there, you know, so pious and holy and sanctimonious and wondering what we had wrong with us. The first thing he said was, "I praise God, I passed my test." He said, "All of you were tested today in the same way, but I heard many of you murmuring against the wind." He said, "But I was able." He wasn't bragging, but he said, "I was able to pass that test. I never complained one thing about the wind." Because then he brought up about the wind of the Holy Spirit and so on. But we'd all been complaining. Complainers, 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 complainers. You know about that, Brother Kane? Complainers. The children of Israel complained constantly, didn't they? Until they drove poor Moses crazy, almost. He didn't even get to go into the promised land because of their rebellion. Because he got so upset with their rebellion. And God gets upset with our rebellion. He wants us to obey him. He wants us to walk in the light. He wants us to see his ways and leave our ways behind. And this afternoon, there's a lot of scriptures I could have given you. There's a lot of things. There is one thing I want to tell you about. One girl that we were praying for over in Tulsa. Oh, Moab means incest. Well, out of the dictionary. He's probing me. Okay, out of the dictionary, out of the Bible dictionary, you can look up Moab and then you look up all the scriptures. And even Balaam sent the Moabite women over to seduce the Israelitish men. And if you don't think there's a lot of seducing women and men in congregations of the righteous, there are a lot of them. And there are things going on that should never go on. And we have to face it head on. We have to face it head on. We have to bind it. We have to loose them. And the sex and the lust and their minds are so contaminated that they can't even sit in a service without eyeing all the women or eyeing all the men. We've had a lot of cases around here, and we've had to pray and pray and pray. It's a very hard spirit to get out. Homosexuality, lesbianism, it's very hard to get them out. But if you keep on and keep on and keep on, the devil will have to go through repentance, through the blood of Jesus, through the power of the name of Jesus. But this one little girl, she kept screaming and crying and screaming and crying, and we had prayed for most everybody, and I finally went over to her, and I said, "Honey, what's the matter?" She said, "But I can't tell you." I said, "Well, you're going to have to tell me because this is not going to leave." And she was writhing around on the floor, and she finally said, "My mother has raped me since I was a little girl." She was a beautiful girl, Holland, Dutch, blue-eyed, blonde girl. And I wept with her to think of the terribleness of a mother bringing all this sexual problems on this young, beautiful girl. But it's happening every day. As Glenn said, over here in Little Rock, three people from Hot Springs were involved in that group. They had a whole hotel wing rented. It's so brazen now. In Cosmopolitan magazine, a week before, I picked it up in the beauty shop, and there's a whole big article in there on incest and on various ways to have sex, promoting it. And it was an old magazine, and I came home, and I tried to find the magazine. I wanted to buy it and read it again. So I went back last week and I asked my operator, "Could I please have that magazine for a week or two? I want to copy something out of it." Because it was multiple sexual relations, including mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, all the dogs. It showed the picture there. It showed the picture right in a magazine, Cosmopolitan magazine, with the dogs and the people and the grandfather and the grandmother, the whole family in sex orgies. Now, you may say, "Well, why don't you shut up about all this? It doesn't involve the Christians." But it does involve the Christians. It does involve people that are saying they are Christian. And they can't help it. It's in them, and they can't get it out, and they can't hardly go to any pastor. He'd say, "Oh, no, you gave a message in tongues last Sunday. There's nothing wrong with you. You're just imagining this." But that ain't true. They're not imagining it, and they're trying to get help. And we want to help you this afternoon. We want the Lord to help you. And if you can't let these spirits go in the main meeting, you come to me afterwards, and we will find a time between now and Monday afternoon to have private consultation with you. And Glenn's going to come, and he's going to command these spirits to come out of you and lead you in a prayer of renunciation, a prayer of asking the Lord to forgive you. You know, part of our problem is we've never asked the Lord to forgive us for certain things because we can't bear to even tell Jesus about them. We just hold them in and hold them in. And incest is one of the best kept secrets in families. Even dear Abby is all upset over it. The Arkansas Democrat is all upset over it. Why shouldn't the church world be upset over it? Because it's right in the church. And we need help. We need help. And this is a hurdle we've got to come over. We've got to submit to God, resist the devil, and he's going to have to flee. That's what the recipe is. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he has to flee. Do you believe that today? And we're going to ask you to look to the Lord Jesus, and if there's a shadow of a doubt that 400 years back that there might be some of this in you, let them go. Let them go. I plead with you. And Glenn is telling me to go right ahead and pray. Let's all bow our heads. And let's pray to Jesus. Let's pray to Almighty God to forgive us. Father God, repeat after me, please. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We bring the sins of our ancestors up to you. And the sins of our nation. And the sins of our own sins. According to Daniel, he brought all of these sins up before the Lord. And Lord, we're submitting ourselves to you this afternoon. We're asking for you to forgive us as a body here this afternoon for all of these sins we've inherited, these sins we were born with, these things that have plagued us and tormented us. We ask you to deliver us this afternoon out of the hands of the enemy, out of the hands of the tormentor, into the light of Jesus Christ. We come against the darkness in us by the name of Jesus. We come against the death in us. We receive your life.
We receive your life.
We come against all of the powers of incest.
We come against all the powers of incest.
And religious error.
And religious error.
And lewdness.
And lewdness.
And homosexuality.
Homosexuality.
And lesbianism.
And lesbianism.
And sins of allowing our husbands to touch us during our periods.
Sins of allowing. Forgive the husbands.
Oh, yes, forgive those husbands, Jesus. Forgive those husbands that are ready to come out, the foul uncleanness, the lust, the lust for food that isn't good for us, the lust for sex that is not legitimate. We come against all the spirits of the bastard.
Come against the spirits of the bastard.
That's been in our generations for 10.
Been in our generations for 10.
That we're carrying in our bloodline.
That we're carrying in our bloodline.
We ask you, Lord Jesus, to deliver us now.
We ask you, Lord Jesus, to deliver us now.
And to set us free from this.
And to set us free from this.
Through your Son, Jesus.
Through your Son, Jesus.
That shed his precious blood for us.
That shed his precious blood for me.
And lived on and died on that tree.
And died on that tree.
That we might be relieved of curses.
That we might be relieved of curses.
And we thank you, Jesus.
And we thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, from now on, you don't have to pray. We've prayed. We're going to start commanding these to come out. The easiest way to get an evil spirit out is to breathe him out. He's air. He's wind, like the Holy Spirit. And you just start giving some. I know there's some doctors here in the audience, Dr. Noel here. When I say gut level, it's not very ladylike, but that's what I mean. Gut level, get way down deep, bring these up and out. The Bible says believers will cast out evil spirits, and we're all believers here this afternoon, and we will cast these things out of us. We will not let them stay in us. Through the name of Jesus.
Father, I come in the name that's above every name, the name to which every person shall bow and confess that he is Lord, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And according to the word that tells us that we have authority over every evil spirit in the name of Jesus, I take that authority now and I bind every spirit that's not of God in this room and in every person. And I take authority over them and I bind them to the day of judgment and ask, Father, that you send the angels of the Lord to collect up and take and bind and keep to that day when you shall judge them. And I come in that name now. And I take authority over them in Jesus' name. And I bind you in the name of the Lord. And I ask, Father, and I thank you that the blood cleanses from these sins that we've committed and that we will be free from them and the sins of our ancestors. The blood shall wash and cleanse, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of unforgiveness. Father, help everyone here to be able to forgive everyone, that there be no unforgiveness in their hearts. For you said in your word that if we don't forgive, you won't forgive us. And Father, help us to be free and clean, and help us to forgive everyone who's ever hurt us in any way. Spirit of unforgiveness, I command you to come out of these people in Jesus' name and loose them in the name of the Lord. I come against infirmity, the spirit of infirmity. Of every kind of sickness, I bind that and command it to come out of these people in the name of the Lord. You spirit of infirmity, you foul, unclean spirits, you foul, unclean sex spirits, you unclean spirits of lust, I bind you and command you to come out of these people in Jesus' name. Divination, you spirit of divination, I bind you and command you to come out and loose these people in the name of the Lord. You spirit of fornication, I bind you and command you to loose these people and come out. I break every soul tie that anyone has ever had with another person that was not their mate or before they were married. I break those soul ties with them in Jesus' name, the ungodly soul ties. I break them and loose them from them. Spirit of bondage to a denomination or an organization, I break that bondage off of you in Jesus' name. A bondage to any organization, I break it. A bondage to Mason, bondage to Masons. I break that. A bondage to any other organization that has secret oaths and ties. I break those bondages off of us and off of everyone in Jesus' name. I break the bondage of denominationalism. I break the bondage of every denomination in Jesus' name. I break the bondage of Catholicism in the name of the Lord. I break the fear of the Pope. I come against it in the name of the Lord. I break the fear of the Mother Superior in Jesus' name. I break the fear of the Catholic priest in Jesus' name. I come against the ungodly prayer to Mary. I break the fear of not praying to Mary. I loose them from the Catholic Church. I loose that in Jesus' name. I break the spirit of error, religious error in any form. I come against that in the name of the Lord, and I break it over these people in Jesus' name. I come against every seducing spirit and incest in Jesus' name. I break that spirit of fornication. I break it in Jesus' name. Spirit of jealousy and envy, I come against you in the name of the Lord. I break your power over these people in Jesus' name, and I loose these people in Jesus' name. You spirit of lying, I come against you and bind you in Jesus' name. I break your power over these people in the name of the Lord. Spirit of laziness. Spirit of slothfulness, I break you in Jesus' name, and I loose you from it. Familiar spirits, spirit of divination, familiar spirits, I break your power over these people in the name of the Lord. Controlling spirits, spirit of hypnotism, and controlling spirits, I break your power over these people in Jesus' name. Bondage to any doctor, bondage to anyone who's ever controlled in any way through hypnotism, I break that power in the name of the Lord. A bondage that ties to a mother or a father or a mother-in-law or to someone else. I break that unnatural bondage in Jesus' name. Bondages to medicine, to drugs. I come against that. Pharmakia, spirit of pharmakia, I bind you in the name of the Lord. I loose you from that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Antichrist spirits, I come against them in the name of the Lord. I break their power over these people in Jesus' name and over every one of us. In Jesus' name. Resentment, criticism. Bitterness, rebellion. I break your powers. And now in the name of the Lord Jesus, I take authority and I command you to come out of these people in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Loose us and come out in Jesus' name. Come on, loose them. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Set these people free in Jesus' name. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And I command these spirits to loose these people and to set them free. Come out in Jesus' name. Loose them. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Bondage to any person that holds a controlling power over you. I break your power in Jesus' name. I break the power in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I break the power. Loose them. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Loose them. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. On all you foul spirits, all you unclean spirits. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out. homosexualism, lesbianism, uncleanness, uncleanness. I break your power. Come out of these people. Come out. I break the control of drugs over anyone here. I break the power of drugs over them in Jesus' name. Every spirit of unbelief, I bind unbelief in Jesus' name. I bind unbelief over everyone here. I loose them from unbelief in Jesus' name. I break the power of unbelief over them in Jesus' name. Every bondage to Catholicism, we break it in Jesus' name. Every bondage to Catholicism. The blood of Jesus cleanses. The blood of Jesus cleanses. You have to obey. You have to obey in Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.